3 of this Advent season here at Church of the Lakes, and it has been my prayer this week that, especially this week, that this Advent season has been truly like, unlike any other Advent season that you have ever experienced. Now, today we're moving into week 3 of the Advent season here. Now, in this week's Nativity Story video, things have gone wonderfully, predictably wrong, right? Now, picture this. Mary and Joseph are having their peaceful moment with baby Jesus when all of a sudden, chaos breaks out. A sheep named Eli has wandered off. This mischievous shelf elf is causing his usual trouble. And in all the commotion, baby Jesus gets woken up and starts to cry. You know that feeling? Do you know that feeling when everything is supposed to be serene and holy, and instead it feels like a three-ring circus? But then the shepherd returns, right, in our video. He returns. He's been out searching, and there on his shoulders is Eli, not walking alongside sheepishly, not trailing behind with his head down, but being carried. This is important. And the shepherd's words to this wandering, right? The shepherd's words to this wandering, disruptive sheep. You know, I'd go to the ends of the earth for you, little guy. Joseph watches this tender moment and has an epiphany, right? He turns to the audience that is with him and says, "This month, we get to remind everyone that Jesus has come to gather his flock, even the loud ones, and carry them close to his heart." Church, I really believe that sentence truly is the gospel in one sentence. Jesus doesn't just, he doesn't just welcome the well-behaved sheep, the ones who sit quietly in the pews, who never ask uncomfortable questions, right? Who always have their spiritual acts together? No, not at all. God seeks out the wanderers, the questioners, the messy ones, the loud ones. He lifts them up and he holds them close. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this reminder deeply comforting. Why do we find it deeply comforting? Well, because if we are real honest with ourselves this morning, most of us have been the loud sheep at some point, right? We have wandered off. We have caused a little chaos. We have disrupted the peaceful nativity scene of someone's well-ordered faith. And yet here is what we discover today. Our shepherd doesn't love us despite our wandering. He loves us right through our wandering. He doesn't wait for us to find our way back before he starts looking for us. He doesn't require us to clean up our act before he will carry us home. You see, today we are going to explore 4 beautiful aspects of God's shepherding care. The first aspect of God's shepherding care is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. He is the shepherd who seeks. I want to read to you Luke chapter 15, 4 through 7, as I bring this point that God has shared with us. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Church, let's just talk about the math. I'm gonna get you into a little math this morning. Let's talk about the math in this situation. And now you may be thinking, I came here to hear about God, not math. But stick with me for a moment. I think we need to look at the math and what Jesus is sharing with us like ourselves, right? He's sharing with us. Jesus is sharing some math that would have made his first century audience do a double take, right? I mean, Jesus says, if you got 100 sheep and you lose one, that's less than 1%, right? It's 1%. It's a 1% loss. A 1% loss. Now, from a business standpoint out in our world today, that's pretty good odds, right? And most business-minded people would say, cut your losses and focus on the 99, right? That's what we do. In all honesty, that's what churches do. Cut your losses, focus on the 99 that you still have, and move on. Now, any MBA program out in our world would tell you that is smart resource management. But Jesus flips the script, right? Jesus flips the script entirely. You see, this shepherd, and remember, Jesus is talking about God the Father here. This shepherd says, I don't care about the math. I don't care about the math. I care about the one. I care about the one. The one sheep isn't expendable, my friends. That one sheep is not a statistical casualty. That sheep has a name. That sheep has a story. That sheep has a place in the flock, right? That sheep has a place in the flock that cannot be filled by anyone else. Let's look at the historical and cultural context of what Jesus is saying here. First things first, first century shepherding was dangerous. It was dirty work. It was not a romantic job at all. It probably wasn't a job that most people were applying for. Shepherds were often looked down upon. They couldn't observe all the religious laws because they had to work on the Sabbath day. They smelled like sheep. And they lived rough lives in the wilderness. Sheep, meanwhile, are not the brightest animals in the barnyard. They wander off easily, often into rocky terrain or predator territory. Unlike cats, sheep don't find their way home. Unlike dogs, sheep don't have a strong sense of direction. A lost sheep is genuinely helpless. So when a sheep went missing, leaving the 99 wasn't negligence. It was a calculated act of love. The shepherd would have to access the terrain. He would have to go into the weather, the time of day, and the safety of the flock. He would have to put all of that in danger, right? But if there was any chance of finding the lost one, a good shepherd would go. See, here's the thing that really sticks out to me about Jesus' story here. You see, the shepherd doesn't just take a quick look around and then go back to what he was doing, thinking, oh, that darn sheep will find his way back home someday. No, that is not what Jesus says at all, right? Jesus says that the shepherd goes until he finds it. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't do anything else until he finds that one sheep. Now, not till he gets tired, not until it becomes inconvenient, not until he's done all his due diligence. I can't do anymore. Nope. The shepherd goes on looking until he finds it. You have people in your life that have gone astray. You know they're on a dangerous path. Oh, they'll come around. It's not the way a Christian's supposed to respond. They're supposed to go. And they are to seek. And they are to go until they find, till they bring that person back into the fold, right? You see, church, that is the heart of God towards you. Maybe that should be the reminder today. That is the heart of God towards you. When you wander away from Him, has anyone wandered away? You're probably afraid to put your hand up because you're in church. Much, you know, you're right next to the other person that's wandered off. We've all wandered, right? You see, when we wander away from Him, and we all wander away from Him from time to time, right? God doesn't just shrug His shoulders and say, "Well, I tried." God doesn't set a timer and gives up on you when the timer goes off, right? God searches until He finds you again. No matter what terrain you are in, no matter what sin you are stuck in, no matter what catastrophic thing you are a part of, God doesn't stop. And He won't stop. You see, in our nativity video, the shepherd doesn't hesitate to leave the nativity scene to go look for Eli, right? Something you need to see here. He knows that sheep, right? He knows that sheep. He knows Eli's habits. He knows his quirks. He knows that Eli's favorite, he knows where his favorite hiding spots are, the places he tends to get stuck. This isn't just good shepherding 101, my friends. This is intimate knowledge. God knows where you're going to go. He knows what you're going to do. You see, friends, that is how Jesus knows you. You see, you aren't just another face in the crowd, even though sometimes you feel like you are. You're not just another face in the crowd. You are not just another number. You are not. No, God knows you by name. He knows your story. He knows your needs. He knows your patterns. Where you tend to wander when you are hurt, right? How you react when you are scared. He knows what draws you away from His safe and loving presence. Psalm 103, 13 and 14 says this: "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Church, our God is a compassionate God. Amen? He knows our limitations. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our tendency to lose our way. And here is the beautiful reminder. Instead of being frustrated by your limitations, by your weaknesses, or losing your way sometimes, He factors it in by His love. You see, what does this mean for us today? Well, church, if you are here today and you feel lost, I need you to hear what I am about to say. I want you to know that Jesus is looking for you. Amen. Jesus is looking for you, not with disappointment, That's the thing. We like to go and we want to hide from him, right? We want to get away. We just want to get away from the guilt, the shame, all these things. But I'm here to tell you, you have a God that is searching for you. He's coming for you, not because of his disappointment, but with determination. With determination, not with a lecture prepared to tell you how it is, but with his shoulders to carry you home. Church, you don't have to find your way back to Jesus. That is such a lie. I'm here to tell you. You don't have to find your way back to Jesus. You don't have to find your way back to him because he has already been on his way to you. You see, he's just wanting to catch up with you. And the more I think about that, you know, all you really need to do is stop running. Stop running to wherever you're running and turn around, and I can guarantee you that he is there. He is there. You see, church, when we are lost or we are wandering, we are only one step away from being found again. Maybe you've been away from church for a little while. Maybe you've made some choices that have led you into a territory you never thought you would explore in your lifetime. Never, I'd never be there. Maybe you feel like you've wandered so far that surely God has given up on you by now. My friends, this is not how this shepherd works. You see, Jesus' love it doesn't have a geographical limit or an expiration date. So how are we doing seeking? You know, how are we doing at seeking the lost in our own circles? We all have people in our lives that seem to be on a path that they shouldn't be, right? What are we doing? Are we just sitting at home going, one day they'll figure it out. One day they will. Or are we going to them? You see, church, it's easy to write off friends and family members who have drifted away from their faith. It's so easy. We shake our head. We say, they've made their choice. What am I supposed to do? They've made their choice. Church, let me just challenge you at this first point. What if we adopted a shepherd's heart towards them? Instead of waiting for them to come back to church or to your family, what if we went to where they were? Not with judgment, okay? Not with judgment, not with a spiritual sales pitch, but with genuine love and compassion for where they are on their journey. Are you really concerned, truly concerned for the lost in your life? If you are, then what are you doing about it? The next aspect of God's shepherding care that I would like to share with you this morning is he is the shepherd who lifts. He is the shepherd who lifts. I want to read to you Isaiah 40:11, one verse. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads them, or leads those that have young. Now, this point is so important for us today, I believe. If I didn't get to another point today, I really feel like this point is so important. You see, the shepherd rescues us with tender, loving care. Okay? His rescuing of us isn't contingent on what we do. You get that, right? You understand that. It's so important. It's not that, hey, that person needs to get in line. They need to figure it out before I actually do anything for them, or I love them, or I show them compassion. No, that's not it. If you're doing that, you're wrong. It's not your place. Okay? You see, the shepherd rescues us with tender, loving care. When the shepherd in our nativity video finally makes his way back to the nativity scene, right? You remember? Eli the sheep isn't walking alongside him with his head down in shame. How many Christians do we see with their head down in shame because of some religious leader in our world that has told them, you need to be ashamed of yourself? We need to learn something from Jesus. We truly do. Eli wasn't walking alongside him with his head down in shame. He's not trailing behind him, trying to keep up. He is not. I mean, I tell you, I see this all the time. Yeah, I was just in the mall the other day, and there was this parent that ripped into their kid and then walked away from them, and they were 20 steps back. Man, that ripped through me. I really wanted to get up and say something, but I feared that mall cop might come. The reality is that's not discipline, my friends. Tearing a child down, that's not discipline. Tearing a friend down, having them come crawling back, that's not love. No, he's not trailing behind him trying to keep up. The shepherd is carrying him. You see that? The shepherd is carrying him. He is draped across the shepherd's shoulders in what is called the shepherd's carry. You've heard of that, right? The shepherd's carry. Here's the thing that we need to see here. This wasn't just a practical transportation method. It wasn't. There's so much more to this. It wasn't just the best way to carry this sheep on his shoulders. Not at all. Have you ever carried a child? Knox, he gets tired. And we do a lot, and we're very active. We do a lot of things. And guess whose shoulders he gets on? Pops. And you carry him around. He gets heavy, right? I'm going to cherish those carries a lot more now that God has shown me what he's shown me about this shepherd's carry. You see, it wasn't a practical transportation method. It was a position of honor and intimacy. You see, the sheep's front legs would be held by one of the shepherd's hands, right? It was that position of honor and intimacy that where it begins. So the front legs would be held in one of the shepherd's hands, and then the back legs were in the other of the shepherd's hands, and the body would rest across the shepherd's neck and shoulders, right? The sheep would be able, catch this, this sheep would be able to feel the shepherd's heartbeat, hear the shepherd's breathing, sense the shepherd's every movement. You see, in the ancient world, when a sheep was injured, exhausted, or repeatedly prone to wander off, the shepherd would carry the sheep this way. Here's the beautiful thing. The sheep wasn't punished for its inadequacy to function in this life. He was actually protected. He wasn't left to be eaten alive by the world saying, they'll figure it out. When they're 18, they'll get out on their own and they'll figure it out, right? You see your role in this, my friends, who have little children, maybe big children, grandparents. See your role in leading these little ones the way Jesus wants them to be led, to protect them from the world in which we live. I think there's some idea out there in our world that they got to get out there and they got to experience it. They got to stumble and fall and then they'll figure it out. That is wrong thinking, my friends. You are a shepherd. There is someone that you are shepherding right now. You are to protect them. You're to love them. You see, sometimes the sheep would wander off, so So often that shepherd would actually catch this. This is something that you need to hear. The sheep would wander off so many times that the shepherd would actually break one of its legs. You see, not out of cruelty. I get it. I've seen my kids live under this idea that you can't spank your kids and you can't discipline your kids. By golly, if you touch them, I've seen people literally in Walmart parking lot watching somebody be disciplined, and there's some old lady on the phone over there going, "I'm calling CPS. You can't do that kid. Give me a break." But yet she's the one probably sitting at her home complaining about the way the world is. You know, you see, thinking about these sheep that would wander off all the time. You got anybody who'd wander off all the time? No, they'd break one of its legs, not out of cruelty, but to keep it from getting into life-threatening danger. Right? I mean, while the leg healed, here's the thing. This is the part that we don't see. Oh, because we don't get that far. You see, while the leg was healing, the sheep had to be carried everywhere. Now, and you know what happened during those weeks that the sheep was being carried? Those weeks of forced closeness. I mean, something amazing happened. The sheep would bond so deeply with the shepherd that it would never want to wander off again. I know that might be a hard story for our modern ears, but it illustrates something profound about God's love. You see, church, sometimes what feels like limitation is actually protection. Maybe I should say that again. What feels like limitation is actually God's protection. You see, sometimes being carried feels like we are losing our independence. I see this all the time. I get the opportunity to walk through lots of life with a lot of people. And you know, that one of the biggest things, you know, as I get to walk with some of the elderly in my life, you know, one of their greatest things is I don't want to lose my independence, right? I don't want to lose my, and nobody does. I could lose my independence. You see that? I mean, all it takes is me to be going down the end of a road and getting hit head on. Next thing you know, I lose my independence, right? Any of us could lose our independence at any moment. But you see, there's something beautiful here to understand. You see, sometimes being carried feels like we're losing our independence, but it is actually one of the safest places for us to be. What's the most important thing for you in life? To make it to eternity, I would hope. To please God with your life. There are things that we try to do, get ourselves in trouble all the time, right? What if God put us in a timeout? And we think, man, I can't do those things. Limitation seems terrible. It's actually one of the greatest places for us to be. You know, this got me thinking this week. There are seasons in life when we can't walk the spiritual journey under our own power, right? We can't make the best decisions or the right decisions because we are in the midst of some challenging times. Maybe it's grief that has knocked the wind out of us, right? Maybe it's depression that makes every step feel absolutely impossible, right? Maybe it is a crisis of faith that has left us unable to move forward. And all I can say is based on God's word is this. In those seasons, Jesus doesn't stand at a distance. He doesn't stand at a distance and shout encouragement to you. Hey, suck it up, buttercup! He doesn't do that. He doesn't. Jesus doesn't offer us a spiritual pep talk or a 5-step program to get us back on our feet. Jesus lifts us up and carries us. That's what he does. He lifts us up and he carries us. When walking isn't enough, church, we need to be carried. We need to be carried. The prophet Isaiah paints this beautiful picture, and it is a reminder for all of us today. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Notice something about God's word. It doesn't say that he carries them until they can walk again. It doesn't say that he carries them until they have learned their lesson. It says he carries them close to his heart, suggesting that this intimacy, this nearness, is actually our destination. Being one with him is actually our destination. Being in his presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is our destination. But it will require surrender on our part, right? Maybe you're in a season of life right now where you feel like you should be able to walk on your own, right? Golly, I've been going to church all year. I should be able to walk on my own. But you just can't. Maybe you feel like you should have more faith. You should have more strength, more spiritual stamina than you do. Can I give you permission to be carried this morning? Can I give you permission to be carried? You know, to let Jesus lift you up and put you on his shoulders. Let Jesus hold you close to his heart. Don't see it as a spiritual failure. That's the thing. So many times we think, we got to figure this out. I got to stop stumbling. I've got to stop falling. I've got to stop doing all these things. I got to do it on my own. I have heard so many people in my lifetime of ministry say, well, God gave me a brain and I should be doing it on my own. You were never meant to do it on your own. The moment you think that you can do it on your own, the enemy has already got a foot in the door. A foot in the door, just waiting to rip you and your family to shreds. Church, will you allow Jesus to carry you today? Will you allow Jesus to hold you close to his heart? As you spend time there, as this sheep did, as you spend time there, you will learn how to carry others' burdens in your life as well. The next aspect of God's shepherding care is he is the shepherd who unites. He is the shepherd who unites. I want to read to you from John chapter 10, 14 through 16 says this. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I'm telling you, I could preach on this for hours. But this right here is some, this here is some radical inclusion, is what it is. It is radical inclusion. You see, when Jesus spoke these words, he wasn't talking to a Jewish audience who understood themselves to be God's chosen people. Okay? They were the sheep of God's pasture, the flock that had been gathered from Egypt and established in the promised land, right? Basically, they were the insiders. They were the insiders. But then Jesus drops this bomb. I wish I had a mic right now because we were just talking about a mic drop, baby. This is it. Because Jesus drops this bomb and he says this, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Other sheep? Wait a minute. Other sheep? You mean outsiders? You mean Gentiles? Yeah, I mean, you mean people who don't think like me, don't act like me, don't look like me, don't smell like me? All these things? You have other sheep? Wait a minute, God. You know, people who didn't look like them, they didn't worship like them, they didn't have their history or their heritage. And Jesus says something else that's very radical. I must bring them also. Jesus didn't say, I might bring them, or I could bring them if they clean up their act first. Jesus said, I must bring them also. So what Jesus was saying is this. It isn't optional. It is not optional. They are a part of my mission. They are a part of my heart. They are a part of my plan. Can anybody say thank you, Jesus, this morning? Here's what you need to see from this. In the first century, the idea that Gentiles could be included in God's family without converting to Judaism was revolutionary. I mean, it challenged everything that the Jewish people knew about God's election and their special status. But Jesus envisioned something much bigger, right? Something much bigger than just some small group of people, right? It is. It's so much bigger. There shall be one flock. That's what the scripture says in John. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. Not separate flocks from different kinds of people. Not a hierarchy where some sheep are more valuable than others, like we have in our world today, but one flock. One might say Jesus was calling for unity without uniformity. You see, it certainly can be a beautiful thing. Just look at all of us. Look around. We've come from a lot of different places in life, right? And look at what God has done here. What He is doing. Our nativity video today, Joseph says, Jesus came to gather His flock, even the loud ones. Billy's not here today. But I love that brother. And he'd be the first one to say that he's loud because he loves Jesus, right? That's a playful way of saying that God's family includes all personality types, all backgrounds, all cultures. You see, the flock is meant to be diverse. And sometimes the diversity is messy. You see, some sheep are quiet and contemplative. I'd say Trent. And then there's others who are energetic and vocal, like me. Some prefer the safety of the fold. Others are natural explorers. Some learn quickly. Others need more time and patience. And somehow, the shepherd loves us all. The shepherd knows us all. And he wants all of us in the same flock. Church, this is radically different from our human tendency to gather with people who are just like us. If you don't believe me, maybe you should just look at the way your family functions. The way your family functions outside of church. We've got football families, we got baseball families, we got basketball families, we've got family families. We've got families from all different kinds of walks of life. Church, the reality is we are comfortable with similarity. We like hanging out with people who are just like us. But Jesus calls us to something bigger, my friends. He is. He's calling us to something bigger today. He is calling us out of our comfort and out of our similarity. We are challenged to be different, right? We are challenged with something bigger, a unity that is rooted not in similarity, but in Him. In Jesus. One problem is when difference becomes division. That happens in our world so often. It happens in denominations. It happens in churches. It happens in families. I've had church families in my own church family actually tell me that their family, they have more of a family at their sporting events than they do in their own church, and that just grieves me. Because I got news for you. Those sporting families, They're going to all disperse when things go hectic. They are. Because it's not grounded on the Word of God. If we can be honest, the church has not always been great at this either. We've created sheep pens based on race, class, education, politics, worship style, and 100 other factors, right? We've done that. Denominations, right? We've done that. Church, what if Jesus really meant, what if he really meant it when he said, one flock? That means I could go to church anywhere and be with any other Christians and be a part of the family. They wouldn't ask me what my credentials are. They wouldn't ask me who baptized me. You know, I had somebody actually ask me that. Do you need to rebaptize me? I was baptized by this pastor. I was like, I don't know, were you baptized as a believer? Good enough for me. But that's the reality in our world today. There are churches that are just don't have it right. I'm not saying that we have it all right either. But what if Jesus really wants the quiet sheep and the loud sheep, the traditional sheep and the contemporary sheep, the sheep who prefer hymns and the sheep who prefer hip-hop, all in the same fold? Of course, that doesn't mean that anything goes, which is what many start to think when we start to have diversity. But we must not forget that the shepherd still has a voice. He still provides direction and protection. You kids can come on up. We just had a membership Sunday, right? We had several new people decide that Church of the Lakes is where God wants them to continue to grow in their faith. Do you know what the only contingency was of them being brought into this family here at church? A testimony of Christ.
You said come on up.
Yeah, come on up. I'm going to finish my last thought very quickly after they're done. Yeah, absolutely.
You have it?
Well, which one is it?
You do not need the purple.
You're good. You got it.
Take a bow. It's hard to believe. I mean, these kids started doing this when they were like that. Look at these kids growing up. Good job. I don't know. I'm just going to close out my point, my last point. Just going to do one last thing. One last aspect that I want to share with you this morning, just very quickly, and I'll just read you the scripture, is He is the shepherd that holds us close, right? I think if there's anything today truly to remember, is that Jesus wants to hold us close. I want to read to you from Deuteronomy 33:27. It says this: "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, 'Destroy him.'" In that video that we watched, Joseph used a beautiful phrase: "Jesus carries his sheep close to his heart." Are you one of his sheep this morning? Meaning that you've been saved. It's okay to be called a sheep, even though sheep aren't very smart. But we're really not very smart. We get ourselves in all kinds of trouble, don't we? We do things we shouldn't do. We wander off. We get on the wrong path. We find ourselves in rocky terrain. We find ourselves sometimes walking hand in hand with the enemy. But if you are one of his sheep, he will always hold you close. He will always come after you. You can be guaranteed of it. He's always going to love you. And he's always going to hold you close. Hey, I can't wait till next week to share more with you what God is sharing with me. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we're so thankful. We're so thankful to be one of your sheep. I know that there's a lot of people out in the world that would look at us and they would think that we are nothing. But when we are in your presence and we are in your family, we are priceless. God, help us to remember that you are always there pursuing us, always there getting us, or at least making a way for us to get away from the terrain that is troublesome. But most importantly, God, thank you for the reminder today that you will hold us close to your heart. Thank you for being an amazing God. Thank you for this church family. And thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? And now may the Lord